Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, Tom, for KER Politics. First couple of segments here, I'm going to be chatting with Jim McKinney. I got to ask you guys a question out there, and I'd like some comments on that. And that is, did you ever think things would get this crazy? Let's take out the word crazy, and let's be a little more specific. Let's say, did you ever think that things would get much more volatile or unpredictable than they are right now? Did you ever think that the president, the duly elected president of the United States of America, would be described using serious profanity by members of Congress? I don't think so. Did you ever think as soon as one of them, and by one of them I mean one of the Democrats, Tulsi Gabbard, started to gain strength, that they would turn against her because she wasn't quite progressive enough? After all, she is a war veteran, a military veteran, very bright woman, and a lot of people in that particular political ilk are turning against her. We're going to talk a little bit about what Trump has done for black people. Before we do that, though, and I have to give all credit to Jim for saying this, all this talk about banning assault weapons is just baloney. And I'll tell you why it's baloney. Because what the people are using are not actual, genuine assault weapons. They are simply automatic rifles. Jim, it doesn't get any crazier than this. Give us an opinion.
Well, I just want to clarify, they're semi-automatic rifles, not automatic rifles, and an assault weapon would be considered a military weapon that goes from semi-automatic to full automatic. And the reality is they look like military weapons, but they're not. They're not military-grade weapons. They do not have full automatic. Though on occasion, what happened in El Paso, apparently the young man there had a very large capacity magazine and was able to fire quite a few rounds. My thought is there's this kind of three levels of politics and emotion that go into this. And the first one is fear. People, an incident like these shootings, there's one at the Garlic Festival in Gilroy, California the week before, and then of course the El Paso and then the Dayton, all very rapid succession. And they are increasing. The number of young people that are taking up arms and killing people is scaring people, and it should. So fear.
Yep, I agree.
And then immediately somebody has to place blame. People want to find, they want blame. They want to know why. Why did this happen? And they're going to blame someone. And unfortunately, in the political season and the rhetoric that we have right now, the blame is the Democratic presidential candidates, and a large percentage of that particular leftist progressive group, they're blaming the president. They aren't taking a look at any of the issues that actually may be underlying and causing these things. And of course, they're not blaming the shooters much at all. And in fact, that's number one where blame lies. And the third issue, it goes from first to fear, then to blame, and then everybody wants a solution. And we want instant gratification. We want something that's going to solve the problem. But the reality is, it's a much deeper problem. And most of the legislative actions that have gone in the past when these types of things have happened.
Jimmy, that is the understatement of the day. It is a much more complex and serious problem. And I want everybody who listens to this program to think about that, because it's not going to get solved unless we think about how to solve it in a, number one, cohesive, and number two, I would have to use the word beneficial manner to everybody.
There are short-term political agendas that are attempting to motivate voters. And the assault weapons ban that happened during the 90s, it is a factually incorrect to say that that helped. In fact, it did not. It did nothing, which is why the ban was let expire. The case of the bump stocks, banning bump stocks from the shooter from Las Vegas a couple of years ago, and that wacko. That's how many people have used bump stocks. And in fact, did he need a bump stock to be able to do what he did? No, he didn't. That was somewhat ridiculous, though. You know, all right, the administration put it out there. And now we're searching for these instant gratifications, immediate solutions. And they're actually, you know, the fault first and foremost goes with the shooter, but then you've got to really look at why these things are happening at a like increased rate. And I think it has a lot to do with the actual media. I think it has a lot to do with the people that perpetuate this. So as a counterterrorism guy, one of the things that we're very concerned about, and what the reason why terrorism works, is because it creates fear. And the way it creates fear is by propaganda and by getting the media to present and to immediately jump on these problems and create that fear in the community. And there is no question that the media in this country just runs at these events and perpetuates and, you know, almost in a awkward way, idealizes these individuals. And it drives the problem even deeper. But there's more problems out there. You know, there's some serious problems with our youth and the disconnection they feel from each other, possibly because of social media, possibly because of a society that is politically correct, that really drives people to be alienated. And I'm very concerned about those types of things that really are going to take a deep look. We're going to have to take a very deep look to try to actually address those. And it's not going to happen anytime soon. It's not going to happen because of, you know, Mitch McConnell bringing a bill to the Senate floor. It's not going to happen because Schumer and Pelosi and AOC get their way. It's going to take a deep cultural change in our community and our society.
Well, I think the reason you're right 100% is the simple fact that we are all not left-wing. We are all not right-wing. If the left happens to take over the executive branch in the next election, which I certainly don't believe that they will, there would still be a very large percentage of people in the country who would be thoroughly, thoroughly angry. Okay, number one. Number two, if the conservatives maintain the executive branch and lose control of Congress, forget the checks. I mean, yeah, the checks and balances will be there, but nobody will be able to accomplish anything. People have to realize, Jimmy, whether it's people of our ilk or people of the other ilk, they're going to have to realize that maybe the other side has a point. You and I don't think the progressives have a point, but you know what? Things have gotten so bad, I certainly listen to what they have to say. I mean, the least I can do is listen and think about it. But there's so much venom in their messages, I lose interest very, very quickly because of the anger, man.
I agree, and it's irrational. And I tell you, from my perspective, this started in the Clinton campaign for president in 2015. The DNC and the Clinton campaign decided that they were going to alienate Trump and paint him as a racist, a bigot, a fascist, and a misogynist. And I think it's really destructive.
And it's crazy because what I don't understand in something that we're going to talk about in the next segment after the commercial break is the fact that every one of those statements, not everyone, but certainly the majority of them, can be refuted, and they can be refuted with cold, hard facts. The thing I like about Trump, the reason I supported Trump from day one, is simply because I am a nationalist. I don't believe the country can afford to be anything but nationalistic. We simply have gone too far down economically to be anything but nationalistic, but that certainly doesn't mean that we have to not care about other people. Check out the commercial real quick, ladies and gentlemen. Jim McKinney and I will be back in a matter of 30 seconds.